Amen. Thank you,
Amen.
Father. Lord God, we just praise you, Lord, that tonight's going to be a special night. A great night, because you're in charge, Lord. We ask you to lead us, guide us into the ways and the avenues that you want us to delve off into, Lord. And we praise you and we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you that we do have an open heaven here. We do have favor with you. And we thank you, Father, that every time we pray, it's answered. And we praise you and we glorify you, Father. Glory be to God, because we all have faith. We all believe that when we pray, we shall have it. And we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for all the miracles that we've already seen and all the miracles that are going to happen. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you for this great revival that's fixing to start upon the scene. And we ask and we pray, Father, that you prepare our hearts and prepare our minds to be ready for this great anointing that's going to take place. And we thank you for that, Lord. Humble us to the point to where nothing matters but you, Lord. Get rid of all flesh off of us. Get rid of the world off of us. Lord, where's nothing left but you. And I thank you for doing that, Father, because I know that we can't do it, but we know that you in us can do it if we keep our eyes on you. And we praise you and we glorify you for all that's going to be accomplished this night. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for opening up our minds to see and to understand, spiritually speaking, the things that will be talked about tonight. Thank you, Father, for giving us all spiritual understanding of the Word of God. When we speak about it, we understand it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for giving us all that love, that obedience love that you want us all to carry around with us, Father. And I praise you and I glorify you, Lord, for all that you're going to accomplish this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! My, 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 my. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Nick.
I got a few, actually.
Okay.
My first one is my bike is broke now, so I can't ride it. I put the carburetor back together. Put it in, tried it, now I have to take it back out, take it all back apart, see what's wrong, then put it back in.
Oh, my. Okay, Lord, what are the thoughts that you give Nick the wisdom to get that thing back together and get it running? Because he needs that bike, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for my buddy Nick, in Jesus' name. Amen.
The other one I had was, we're going to Frankenmuth on Friday for
going
two
to
nights.
Who?
Frankenmuth.
What is that?
It's a little town north of Davison.
Oh.
In Michigan.
Oh, I know exactly where that's at. Amen.
Yeah.
All right. Well, y'all have a good time up there. We're down there.
Yeah, we're going
there.
To a car show actually this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, and we're in it.
Okay. Well, y'all have a good time.
Yeah.
Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Henrietta. You have to mute, girl. There you go.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. I was just wanting to ask for prayer. Saturday night, I think we prayed for our area with, Andre, cause there's a very strong, well, there's a lot of witchcraft. There's a very strong witchcraft hold. And, there's a lot of poverty, excuse me, breaking out. And we've been hit with witchcraft, ever since. So like migraines, whole body aches. Andre wasn't able to go to work. He went today though. And, yeah, and I'm, I'm still struggling quite a bit.
Okay.
So I just want to ask for prayer.
All right, let's do it. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you said in Luke chapter 10, verse 19, that you have given us authority over all the power of the enemy. This is witchcraft coming against Anretta's family. And we bind up all the curses spoken and cast it out of there in the name of Jesus. We cast out infirmities. We cast out curses spoken against this family in any fashion or form. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we rebuke you and command you out of her house. You're not allowed in there. That's a she's a child of God. She takes authority over you, and she's going to believe from this point on that it has no power in this household. In the name of Jesus, we command it to go from her husband, go from her, and anyone else that might be coming down with it. We command that spirit of infirmity, leave that house right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for your angels that are there now binding up these enemies and casting them out of that household, even as we speak right now, and we command the symptoms to go right behind it. In the name of Jesus, we speak. And we praise you, Father, that it is done. Amen and amen. Everybody believe that? Glory to God, glory to God. Yes, Lord. Praise you. Okay, Julie.
And Retta, did you say there was a spirit of poverty over your area?
Yeah, the surrounding area, like not exactly where we're at, but the surrounding area there is, and this growing homelessness and desperation. Yeah.
Father, we just take authority over that spiritual curse as well. Stronghold of that demon, whatever you go by, that spirit of poverty, we break your power off of that area in the name of Jesus. We break the power off of homelessness and desperation and hopelessness and all that go with that. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray an outpouring of your grace and mercy and an intervention there, Lord, with your Holy Spirit and finding homes for people. And Lord, I just pray for that the revival to start with these people, Lord, who are seeking and needing the love of God, needing the love of Christ, needing a something to hold on to, that are desperate for something greater than what they are in right now, Lord. And I pray blessings in Jesus' name.
Amen. And Retta, I'm going to pray something off of that whole region there. If you'll believe with me, it's going to happen, okay? In the name of Jesus right now, I command, I bind up that spirit of Antichrist over that region right now and command it to be thrown out of that area in the name of Jesus. Now, angels, do your job. Go out there and get that principality and chunk it out of there in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that it is done. And we thank you for it, Father. Glory be to God. I praise you, Father, for doing that for Ann Reynolds' area there. And we thank you, Lord, that the gospel will go forth now in a mighty way. We praise you that it is, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it. Glory to God. Amen. Ooh, my, 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 my. All right. Who's next? Oh, my. Yeah, Donna.
I would like to pray for a refilling of the Holy Spirit to fill me up again and a gifts of the Spirit.
So. Okay. You want me to pray or you going to pray?
You pray.
Okay. All right. Well, raise your hand, girl, because God's fixing to fill you up.
I can do that.
All right. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus right now, she's asking to be filled with you, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we ask and we pray right now that you give her what she wants in the name of Jesus. We praise you.
Praise you, Jesus.
Fill her with your Holy Spirit right now in Jesus' name. Now receive it. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Father. We thank you, Father. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right, girl, you're filled. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Praise
Thank
God
you.
Forevermore.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank Amen. You, Jesus. All right. Anyone else got a prayer? I'm out of seat there. What's this about Rayana? What's he want? Amen. Listen, can we pray? Rayon? All right, we're going to pray. And y'all believe with me. Lord, we lift up Rayon's family, Claire, the girls, and Daniel, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your protection around about them, that no curse that has been spoken against them, about them, or any other kind of way, will ever penetrate that barrier in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, that flesh has died and they've got a smile on their face at all times. And we praise you for it, Father, that this would be a turnaround for Clara's parents. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank that right now they're wondering, what is going on? They're not clawing back at us. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that this is an absolute breakout of love in this family. And we thank you for it, Father. We break the power of Satan over them and cast it out of there in Jesus' name. Faction, you go in the name of Jesus. Jezebel, go in the name of Jesus. All of those spirits that have tormented this family for years, you go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for bringing them in. Bringing them in a mighty way, Father. And we thank you for it. And Lord, I ask that it be done before they leave. In Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Y'all believe that? Bless God, it's done. Glory to God, glory to God.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, I believe it. Thank you, Father. Oh, my, my, my. Anybody else? Man, I feel the power of God. Woo! Awesome time we're in right now. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, Missy.
I'd like some prayer. I'm working on getting ready for yard sale this weekend, and I just would like to pray about that. And if anybody has anything to add to it, Father, I just praise you and thank you, Lord, for this garage sale being a success, Lord. I just cast down all anxiety and Lord, just I come to you to help me to make every decision that I need to make, Lord. Give me the wisdom. Lead me by your spirit, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. And help me to get this post on Craigslist done properly in the right category so it shows up where it needs to show up when people do searches and all. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And I thank you, Lord, for getting the most important items sold, Lord, and you know which they are, and at the best possible price, Lord, because it all goes to you, Lord, for the work of the ministry, for your kingdom, Lord. And Lord, I really don't want to do this another weekend, but I will if I have to, but I really don't want to have to. I'd rather be spending my time spending time with you, Lord, even though this is for you, but it's just so time consuming, Lord. And I just would love to just get it over and done with, Lord, and move on to more important things that you have me to do. And I just praise you and I thank you, Lord.
Amen. Now, if we pray that you get it all done, you gonna believe?
Yes.
Okay. In the name of Jesus right now, Lord, I thank you that every item she puts in this, what are you calling it? Garage sale? in the name of Jesus, be sold before the sun goes down in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And that she'll be surprised at the money she's made for your kingdom in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Amen. First day, no second day, only first day. Amen. We praise you for it, Father. Watch what happens, because it's going to happen. Them ain't just going to be prodding people over there. You're going to have a crowd. You won't be able to keep up with them.
I had a, I took my bike down to the trail today, and I just left it on the rack on the back of my Rav and put a sign there. And I went and I walked, you know, and when I came back, I was almost back to the Rav, and there was this man walking over towards the Rav, and I thought, is he looking? So he was looking at my bike, and he was really interested. So I wrote down my number and everything for him on a piece of paper because he didn't have any. And he was thinking about getting it for his wife. And he was really interested. He thought it was a good price because it is like new. And
you got a motor on it?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
But anyway, I just thank you, Lord, that I'm going to get what I want for it. I believe you put in my heart right away what to ask for it. And it turns out that's what it says on the bicycle book pretty much. And I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
My biggest concern is selling that item, Lord. And so I thank you, Lord, you're going to do it. Bring the right people, Lord, and everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Woo-hoo.
Amen. Thank you, Father. What is this thing coming up here?
I send out the angels to gather the people to come that Lord, you want to come in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. It is done.
Garage sale signs that are put out close by, and I thank you, Lord, for doing that.
Amen. Let them be bidding on that stuff, because there's too many people there, and they all want it. And we thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's going to be fun to watch. Let's see. I saw somebody raise their hand. Was that Lana? She left, I think. No, she didn't. Okay. Lana, did you have your hand up or did you? When the boys start screaming. Okay, go ahead, Geneva.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I was going to say, Missy, I'll send my mom over. She'll buy everything at your garage sale. That's what we grew up on. All of our belongings, even our underwear, came from garage sales.
Oh, my goodness.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know about that. Actually, Isaac might better. Isaac right now is like, why did you say that? No, but she is for real the garage sale queen. Lord, send those angels the right people. But anyways, I need to learn to make my words few. Basically, I just wanted to say that our trip home was what I'm trying to say is our trip back to Kentucky was good. A lot of my family got to meet Micah, and I just want to thank you all for the prayers. And coming back was kind of extensive and longer than what we thought it'd be, but that's okay. Lord worked it all out, and we got back home safe. So praise the Lord for that. But I did want to ask for prayers because I've always kind of struggled with my father-in-law. He's, sorry, I got the baby right here, so kind of complicated. But I've always kind of struggled with my father-in-law. Not anything that I've done, but I guess you could just say it's more like Christ in me. And, you know, I feel like of all the daughter-in-laws, none of them have been persecuted anywhere near what I have been. And not that I should like look at them and judge or envy or anything like that. I just know that it's because of Jesus in me, you know, and it's my cross to bear. So I have a really hard time not letting my flesh get a hold of me and say things about him, because he, you know, like the whole trip was great, but it's always something that maybe he says or does to me and Morgan that can just be really hard to get past. And, you know, he made some pretty rude comments at me, and just, he can be kind of bitter, you know, that we don't live there and that we live here, and things of that sort. But anyways, like over the years, he's made a lot of progress, and, you know, he's let go of a lot of bitterness that he's had toward me, which, like I said, I don't know why I earned the bitterness in the first place, just like I said, 'cause I'm a child of God. But I had a dream the other night, and it was like the Lord had told me, you know, stop talking about him, stop thinking about him negatively, and start praying for him if you want things to change. And so I've been listening to, you know, some of David's podcasts on love and things. And I want to say a prayer, and you all believe with me that, that the Lord helps me to really love him. 'Cause I think we're going to be seeing them again soon. I think they're coming to Florida, and, I just always run into, it's like, and I'm sure a lot of you all know, what I'm saying here is, it's like you keep running into the same trial. And it's like, you just, it's so hard not to do the same thing every time. And I want to be set free of it. Like, I want to pass this test, and in Jesus' name, I'm going to. So I want to get to a point where what he says, like, just doesn't affect me at all. Like, I really don't care, you know, and I love him regardless. Anyways, so I'm going to say a prayer. You all believe with me. Dear Lord, Father, I ask God that you be with Gene, Father, be with this man. God, I ask that you soften his heart, Lord. Father, he's come a long way, and that's only because of you and all of his sons praying for him. Lord, I just ask God that you come into this man's heart, Lord, and set him free of all these spirits that have just bound him up, God, the negativity and the bitterness and the disrespect, Lord, and the slander and the things that he says against people in his family and against his sons, Lord, and against his wife. Father, I just ask God that you bring him happiness, Lord, and let him realize that his family really loves him and that his sons really love him, regardless of the past. And Jesus, help me, God, to let me not even hear. Well, in Jesus' name, Lord, let him not make these comments anymore, Father. But God, also turn off my hearing to anything that's negative, in Jesus' name. And that, Lord, I speak all joy. And that, God, when I am persecuted, Father, that it is all joy. And that I am thankful, because that's what is making me like you. And to turn the other cheek. And Lord, just deliver this man, set him free, so that way this family can grow and be better, and it not be this continual thing, Lord, where everybody's just upset with him all the time. And I just thank you, Jesus, that you're going to set this man free. And Lord, I thank you for giving me the grace to be obedient and to keep my mouth shut and to not get in my emotions, get in my way, or let my old man or flesh has to die, in Jesus' name. And or just give me peace about it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for the work you're doing in Geneva, that you are killing the flesh off of her and utilizing this man to do that. And we thank you, Father, she's come a long way. Now, in the name of Jesus right now, we break the power of Satan off of his name is Gene. Geneva, is his name Gene? Did you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Gene.
We break the power of Satan off of Gene right now in the name of Jesus. We bind up criticism and cast it out. Judgmental attitude, go right now in the name of Jesus. We bind up all those forces that have tormented and kept him in bondage all his life in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you for setting him free right now. Angels, we send you out there right now to do the work of binding these up. And Lord, we thank you that you're going to run somebody around by Gene that will, he will listen to, that the gospel will come alive in him in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Father, for granting repentance to him in Jesus' name and bringing him in. We thank you, Lord, it is done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it. Glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to Jesus.
Amen. Donna, do you know how to mute your phone? It's what is it, y'all? It's star 6, I think, isn't it? Yeah, there you go. You did it. You're good to go.
Can I add something? Can I add something to Janina's prayer? Father, I thank you, Lord, for Gene. I thank you, Lord, for the relationship that he has in the family, Lord. And I also pray, Lord, that you would just grant Geneva to see the good things in him. Because we have the tendency to focus on the negative, right? And I know what that's like. But I pray, Lord, that you will help her to see and bless him for all the good qualities that you put in him too, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And those would magnify far greater than the negative, magnify more than what the where he's at right now, Lord. And it's just the flesh. And thank you, Lord, that we can't help what our flesh was until we get Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for getting him saved and bringing him into the kingdom, Lord. And there's great blessings over Gene. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And Lord, we thank you for putting it in Geneva's heart, Morgan's heart, and all of them's heart, that when they're around Gene, they just encourage with love. I just love you, Gene. You're so awesome. Glory to God. You know, stuff like that. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Well, that's the way. That's maybe so. Who knows? You know. All right. Go ahead, Malcolm.
Thank you. We got planes flying over like crazy here. Across the river, I can see it's a clear sky, but across the river, there's a lot of smoke I can see through the trees. And apparently the fire is moving very quickly to the north toward down there. So pray for that. How's that, Michael?
Well, I'm trying to figure out, what are they doing that upsets you?
Well, there's a forest fire that is moving very, very quickly toward this town. It's in the humidity is very, very low, and so it's in a really high danger area. So,
I got you.
Anyway.
Okay. Well, go ahead, Michael.
Go ahead, Michael.
No, you go ahead, and then I'll follow you.
Hey, Lord, you know what's going on here about this fire? I really don't have very much information. Couldn't smoke through the trees. So I just, we've had a lot of arsonists going on here in this area. And I just come against this fire right now, and I command it to stop.
Amen.
And be extinguished, and these planes that are flying around, dropping water on it, they'll be successful. And thank you for putting your hand on that situation and bringing it completely under your control. And just take authority over that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to do something drastic, if you don't mind. If you can believe with me, Malcolm. Can you believe with me, Malcolm?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, you told us that we have dominion, and I believe it. And we all here have faith in the name of Jesus. I command rain in that area to put the fire out right now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that the clouds are building up even as we speak. And I praise you, Father, that he's going to have a downpour, and Malcolm's going to be declaring it to everybody before it ever happens. Well, we're fixing to get a rain. Just be careful. They say it's going to happen. God's going to put it on. And we praise the Father for doing that for Malcolm and all the people in that area in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this great, mighty rain that you're fixing to put this fire out with and take them out of this danger. And we praise you and we thank you for it, Father. And we ask also, Lord, that you expose the arsonists that are setting these fires in Jesus' name. Thank
Amen.
You, Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God, glory to God. I believe it, Malcolm.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for doing that. By the
Amen.
Way, we don't go by what we see. It's a completely clear sky. And so God does it.
Well, all you got to do is just keep stating it. We're fixing to get it rain. We're fixing to get it rain. Y'all just watch. Fixing to get it. That's right. And watch what happens.
Humidity.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Lord, hallelujah. You're going to have 110% humidity there shortly.
Praise God.
With a 4-inch rain. Good slow soaking rain. Put the fire completely out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord.
And
I believe it. Anybody here believe with me? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I believe it. Glory to God. Ooh, my. All right. Anyone else? God is so good. I believe everything we pray tonight is going to happen. I do. Yes. Let it rain all night long. Yeah. To a testimony of your goodness to us, Lord, and your mercy. And your grace. Yeah, David.
Hello.
Hey, bud.
I'd like some prayer.
Okay.
Lately, been under a lot of attack, and been getting thoughts that try to cast down all the time. I get anything from, you don't belong to UBM. You're just a burden to them all. And I mean, it's been a never ending battle. And I try to keep my head up and look forward, look towards the cross. And I mean, I just need prayer.
Okay. Well, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for David and his heart for you, Lord. And we praise you, Father, that he is yours. He is in you, Peter. He is in the bride. He is all of those things. And Father, I ask that you pray, place it in his heart. He confessed that every day. And I thank you for it, Father. In the name of Jesus, I command this discouragement off of him. You go in Jesus' name. Condemnation, go in the name of Jesus. Rejection, go in the name of Jesus. Confusion, go in the name of Jesus. Anxiety, go in the name of Jesus. Fear, go in the name of Jesus. Every one of you, go and leave this family right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you for your joy, your peace, and your love that's permeating David right now, his whole spirit, soul, and body in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that he is a child of yours. And he is right on the right path. And we command all discouragement to go from him in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for doing that for David and Lena and the kids in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Samuel.
I want to pray along with that. I agree with you completely, Brother Michael. And everyone here knows the word and believes in the word. So, and this is not just for you, David. There's other people, and other people in the brothers and sisters in Christ are dealing with the same thing. So, enemy, we're reminding you, get up, for brothers and sisters right now. You're under our feet. Stop trying to rise up. We're going to keep crushing you in the name, power, and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We release love, we release peace, and we release joy and all the spirits of the Holy Spirit to be rising up. Because we rise up with Christ in us. Thank you, Father God. We glorify you. We are united in Christ. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' mighty name.
And nothing or anything can go between us in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. We are all one in one accord. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, Mary.
And Father, I'm just in so much agreement with this. And just to tag on, I bind up, cast down all the witchcraft and faction.
Amen.
Coming against this body here. I cast you down in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. All your assignments against us are null and void. And Father, I just thank you. I thank you. You've given us the authority. Jesus has given us authority over all serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall in any wise harm us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Every tongue that rises in judgment against us, I condemn. In the authority of the mighty name of Jesus, we are the righteousness. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That was just a little witchcraft thing trying to come in there and block. Praise God. Father, we just cast all this down. We don't receive any of it. And Father, we do. I thank you for that outpouring, that refreshing, that renewing, that restoring, that reviving of each and every person here, spirit, soul, and body. And Father, we just rejoice. We rejoice. I thank you, Father, for that joy unspeakable and full of glory, that anointing that you are, it's coming and it's already, we have the mercy drops. And we thank you and we praise you for the mercy drops. But Father, we're believing for the full anointing to the glory of Jesus. It's all to the glory of Jesus. And we are just rejoicing. And I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Lord of God. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yes, I just wanted to clear, Lord, I declare for David, God, that this is no longer a never-ending battle, but that battle ends this night, Lord, here and now, this very night, Father.
Name of Jesus.
Come against it, and we call it an end to this in the name of Jesus. That devil is not victorious. David is victorious over this. He's been fighting faithfully, Father God, and wanting this battle to end, Lord, and we stand with him, God, and we declare it right now, this night, that this battle is ended in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Does everybody agree? Yes. It's over. It's over. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory, hallelujah. Praise be to God.
Praise you, Father.
All right. Thank you, Debbie.
Amen.
All right. Anyone else? There is power. Power. In the blood of Jesus. Oh, my man, I could get down on that one. Lord of God. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Amen. Amen. It will, Samuel. We heard in spirit last night God say our soul and body will align with his spirit. It has to. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, hallelujah. My, my, my. All right. Anyone else? Got a prayer request? Testimony? Praise report? Yeah, Samuel.
Tiana.
A couple of days ago, I accidentally ate gone off chicken and I didn't realize until partway through. And then, like, not long after, I started feeling really, really sick. And I'm like, no, I don't accept the sickness. I'm not under the curse. And we prayed and declared the word, and it went away, and I didn't get sick at all.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is so good. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. My, my, my. Yeah, and Retta.
I almost forgot. There's a little while back when I shared that we were told we're going to be receiving Christians, and we were told to prepare food and firewood. And one of the things that I was shown was there'd be a whole, like, hood of people, there will be a lot of darkness all around. And I will know that the people coming are Christians because they'll have a blue light shining on them. So this was about 5 years ago when we got this vision, or 4 years ago, and in 2019. And we were reading the email that you sent out with Andre, and it was saying, you know, that she saw all these people wearing blue. And I thought, oh my gosh, that was confirmation. Praise God. Yeah. But, you know, because I hadn't shared that part about the blue light, you know, that will be shining over everyone else. And so that was just amazing to read. So praise God for confirmation. Yeah.
Amen. Well, you got another one. Come on, Samuel. Come on, tell about the lights.
We keep seeing lights and stuff as well, but we're not sure what they meant. And Michael was reiterating how that it definitely is angels, and and it represents, the colors can mean certain things. So we were all doubtful and thinking it was the enemy attacking or witchcraft. So we was doing all the prayers, but now we've been reassured, especially with that on Radha. Thank you for sharing that, because we're trying to figure out what the colors meant and all that sort of stuff. But we're just going to keep glorifying God. His presence is here. And we prayed even to see more in the spiritual, especially for myself, because I have a bit of doubt and stuff. So break that in Jesus' name. No, Lord, you're going to work through in all of us. You're going to keep on pouring it out. We're going to keep, let us be ready to receive Amen. And utilize as well in Jesus' name. Thank you, God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. I wish you'd get excited sometimes, Sam. You had a way to go, brother. That's the way I am. Glory to God. All right, Donna.
So I've been in prayer for a couple of days. Like I got yesterday, it said, stand guard and see the salvation of the King.
Okay.
And then I also had it was a small vision, and I seen a body of water, and it was a large cross, and it was submerged into the water. It was about three fourths into the water. So I just wanted to share that.
Okay. What kind of interpretation would you put at that?
I'm thinking that the Lord is telling me that keep submerging in the Word of God. And the water is helping me to die to the old man, to the crucifixion.
Okay.
So, would you agree right. with that?
I do.
Yeah. So anyway, I wanted to share that. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. My. Okay, I told y'all the gifts are going to be starting in this fellowship, didn't I? They're going to be starting. They've already started. Praise God. All right, anybody else? My. There's such a peace in here, is there not? I'm feeling a lot of peace in here. Lord. Okay, one thing, and then we'll get into the study tonight. I had a question that was posed to me this afternoon, and I went to David for clarification, and the question was, what is a woman's responsibility as far as correcting a man or a woman with the Word of God if they are in error? And the correct procedure, there's actually two things you can do for a woman. A woman can do it by example by giving a testimony of something that's similar in nature to what they're going through or what their error was, and or they can just quote the word. And that's about as far as you can go. And to expound on it, I don't know. You know, I think we need to stay with just the word, because remember, what did everybody get a copy of the email that I sent out as far as what the angel said about this fellowship? The Lord said, actually, that came from the Lord, not the angel. Yeah, that was it. Okay. Did anybody not get it? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. I got a whole lot of that. All right. Then that's what he wants in this fellowship. He wants complete holiness. He wants everything to be structured according to what the Word of God says. And that's what we're going to try to adhere to. And that's one of the reasons we're going through this study here, is for both men and women. The Jezebel spirit attacks both. And so let's be agreeable with that, and don't allow self to try to push out there and do something. We're all here to help one another. And to do that, we need to stay within God's framework of structure of the fellowship. So, having said that, is anybody clear about that? Has anybody got any questions of what I'm talking about here? Boy, Lord God. What page are we on? And don't say five or six or something like that, because I ain't got no five or six. I think we're on 12, Revelation 2:20, right? Okay. That's what I thought. That's what I was thinking. All right, is everybody there? Well, we'll just do it like we have been doing it. I need to do that too. Revelation 2:20. But I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and seduces my servants to commit fornication. It's fornication for a woman to sow the seed. The woman is supposed to receive the seed. She's supposed to be in subjection. The man is the one sowing the seed. Jesus agreed with this, and that's what he did. He ordained men to go forth with the gospel and do this. Also, a woman who has a spirit of Jezebel, or a man who has a spirit of Jezebel, what they're trying to give you is fornication, because the seed they're trying to give you is not from your husband. It's not from Jesus Christ. They're just like the Jezebel in Revelation 17, the harlot. Revelation 17:3, and he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. She's ruling over the beast and attempting to rule over the saints too. Full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations, even the unclean things of her fornication, and upon her forehead a name written: Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of the harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Revelation 2:20, but I have this against thee, that thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and seduces my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Spiritually, to eat things means taking into our lives what we become, because what we eat is what we're made of. The teaching we receive into our lives change us in this way. What does things sacrificed to idols mean? Well, in the natural, that would be the flesh of the animals that were sacrificed. But spiritually, it means we are offering up our beastly lives to the God of self. Most bow to idol of self, but Jesus teaches that we must each take up our cross and die to self, or we are not his disciple. Jesus said in Matthew 10:38, he that doth not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And some people will pervert the word to save the flesh alive because they have idols. They'll preach something to manipulate people. Wives, don't manipulate your husbands. They have to hear from God without distraction. And in order for you both to be blessed, they have to be blessed to hear from God. And if you're taking authority, wife, because of a self-willed idol, neither of you is going to hear from God. It'll be you leading instead of God. Now, I've known some women that were very good in their church position, but that didn't make it legal for them to be doing what they were doing. For instance, in one of the first churches I was in, there was a woman who's teaching everybody in joy. The problem was that she was just in rebellion against God. And remember the story about the beguiling? There's something about a woman that enables her to be beguiled. Genesis 3:13, 1 Timothy 2:14. Two witnesses. We don't need to put ourselves in a position that's not ours to have. A position that will bring evil to others or ourselves. And that's what Jezebel was doing, and the Thyatira church was permitting it. Okay, I'm going to stop there and ask if there's any questions or any comments anyone would like to make. Is that pretty clear? If it's not, ask your question. Okay. Revelation. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
Thanks, Michael. Can we chat a little bit, or maybe there's a lot of scripture in the New Testament about sacrificing to idols. This is just one example. I just wonder if we can chat about that a little bit more, what that means, sacrificing to idols, because it talks a lot about that, about Jezebel. Is there more depth to that than just what it says?
Okay. Just read? Yes. Andrew's got an answer. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, there, in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, there's the sanctuary and idols. That's an agreement. But, you know, a lot of people don't really think of a fellowship, a communion, a concord, a portion. There's the portion. You know, unbelief is a sin. It says so in the Revelation in the last few chapters there. We're free from that sin of unbelief. And I would just propose to you that there is an idol. An idol is a person, place, a thing. And the words that come out of their mouth is what's dangerous. You know, there were those two prophets there, the old prophet and the young prophet. And the old prophet invited him to his house to eat. And you know the story. And he went, and then he got the mastery over him. He just wanted to be able to prophesy something that would be right for once, the false prophet. And he confused this brand new young man who was a prophet. Of Judah. So you got to watch these fellowships and so forth. All this communion fellowship has to do with, of course, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The rest is the fruits of the flesh, and we know that too. So, you know, you should refer to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 a lot, because that's our fruit, you know, and not only is it our fruit, but it's also our glory, because he wants to give you according to the riches of his glory. And his glory is every piece of the Holy Spirit's fruit that you would get, because it's the glory of God. You know, it's your life is made of this glory, because in him was life, and this life is the light of men. So, and the light shone in the darkness, and of course they don't apprehend it, and they don't apprehend it even then. And they get mad at people who have the light. They get angry with them. And so that's something you can think about. You know, you had the Apostle Paul stand before the elite of the city, before a king, before a governor. And he said to open their eyes, to turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto the power of God, to receive your remission of sins, to receive an inheritance among those sanctified by faith in Christ Jesus. And Festus called him a madman for his much study. Agrippa said, with but little, you would almost convince me to be a Christian. It just proves what it says in 1 Corinthians, that not many mighty, not many noble come to Christ. But when you do get one, it's pretty special. One who's academically inclined. We have the Numeric English New Testament. Some man spent 50 years doing that so that the Christians would benefit. So praise God, you know, that there are good fellowship people to have with. And the sanctuary is not a part of a church building. It's an agreement with, I go to prepare a place for you. And that's Jesus. So praise God.
Okay, anyone else? That answer your question, Judy? Somewhat.
That was good. Thanks. It's just the whole sacrificing to idols. I know it's not like eating the food, like, you know, they sit out for Buddha. You know, that don't matter. I know that's not what it is, but I know there's a deeper spiritual meaning. I just want to hear what my brothers have to say, because they have knowledge of this stuff, because I know God gives it to them.
I like to hear too, because sometimes when they just have some nice fellowship here, we know where our fellowship comes from. So it's even good, because it'll pop back in your head when you really need it. That's great. God. And you want it all to come back in.
Amen. Okay, anyone else? Okay, let's go ahead. Revelation 2 and 21. Can y'all hear me okay? Okay, good. And I gave her time that she should repent, and she wills not to repent of her fornication. That's self-will. She chose not to repent. We're at a place right now where God has given time for her to repent, but soon there's going to be a slaughter to the Jezebels, to the Jezebel spirits, because we have a Jehu coming. Amen to that. We do. We've got a Jehu coming. Glory to God. Revelation 2:22. Behold, I cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation. And if you're permitting a Jezebel in your house, they're going into the tribulation, but they will not be able to escape in it, because judgment is on them. And it goes on to say, except they repent of her works, and I will kill her children with death. You're sacrificing your children, you who have invited this evil spirit into your house. You're sacrificing your children. And of course, this is spiritual too, because there are people who are spiritual children of a Jezebel spirit. They're not children of the Lord, and they're following a demon. In other words, they're following the devil. Even while they're in churches calling upon the name of the Lord, they're following the devil, not the Lord. Amen to that. Revelation 2:43, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he that searches the reins and the hearts, and I will give unto each one of you according to your works. And God is saying that he's going to judge this work of Jezebel. Verse 24, but to you I say, to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, that's the teaching of Jezebel, who know not the deep things of Satan. Wow. He's calling these teachings the deep things of Satan, and you better depart from it. If you're in a church that's ruled by women, get out of it. Just get out of it. And if you're the husband in a family that's ruled by women, don't be an Ahab. Ahab lost his life, and he was also devoured by the beast. Verse 24 again, but to you I say, to the rest that are in Thyatira, as many as have not this teaching, who know not the deep things of Satan, as they are wont to say, I cast upon you none other burden. Nevertheless, that which ye have, hold fast till I come. And he that overcomes, and David says in this case, overcoming those Jezebel spirits too, and he that keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give authority over the nations. This is the only one he's going to give authority to. We have to overcome and keep his works until the end. Verse 27. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to shivers. Amen. I'm going to say something here that the men need to hear. If you have a Jezebel wife, your devotion is to the Word of God first and foremost. It's to the Word of God. And if the Lord tells you to do something and she goes against it, what are you going to do? We all like peace in the family, but we also want to not disobey God. And when you obey God, people are going to come against you. They're going to come against you in ways that you never thought was possible. If you have made up your mind to follow the Lord, the Word tells us that. It tells us all that. But guess what's going to happen? He's going to restore everything to the nth degree. I put it that way. He'll do it. So just obey the Lord. And just pray for your spouse. Women too. Women and men. Okay. Anybody got any questions? Sometimes, most of the time, let me put it this way. Most of the times in a family with Jezebel in it, the man will capitulate. We're in a time now you can't do that. You can't capitulate. You have to obey God. And whatever it is, you have to obey God. Because like David was speaking about right here, this tribulation is to take out Jezebel. And we're right there. We're within just a short while of being into this thing. Going to take out the Jezebel churches. He's going to take out the apostate churches, and he's going to bring his people out of them. He's going to bring his people out of them. Yeah, Andrew.
I'm a divorced person. Mm-hmm. And I could safely say that this spirit can come upon anyone, and it could destroy a family. And it's a subtlety on how it first comes. And when you go through it, you think you're okay, you know. First of all, you know, you're kept at a very immature level in some of these churches for a very long time, and you don't realize it's coming. And you'll find yourself backtracking some of the things that have happened to you because the Lord showed them to you. And he'll say, that's what you did, Andrew, right there. And so he comes to rescue you. And it's just really nice when he does it. He rescues you. It's an item that I knew a long time ago that women were not supposed to be in the pulpit. And it's something I fought against and tried to protect my family from, but I just didn't have the biblical knowledge to understand it. You know, I don't even think I still fully understand it. But, you know, it just made its way in, you know. Like, what I was looking at is, well, I can't bring any of my family members here to this church because they don't believe in this, and they'll just accuse me of that, you know. And what are you doing here, Andrew? Look, we have a woman on stage. That's wrong. Yeah. And back then it was the Catholic that would correct me, you know. And so I didn't want this hopping on to my wife in any sort of way, but every single person, the one who witnessed to me, divorce. A twin brother, divorced. A good friend of mine, who rededicated his life to the Lord and went back to his church. He did some pretty nasty stuff. He got his girlfriend pregnant, but he never left her. And when he rededicated his life, he actually married her. But he's in divorce now too. So this is a diabolical demon spirit. And it's present, you know, in the church. I even remember one of the pastors saying to me in one of these denominations, I'm not going to mention anyone. He said to me, Andrew, you know, there's divorce in the church. And I was still married at that time. And I was going, I still remember, I was thinking, yeah, but you're the pastor. You're supposed to see that this doesn't come to pass in this church. You're supposed to have, you know, the know-how and the way with God to not have this happen. The subtleties of these things come in so easily. And it's hard, you know, to know that you were tricked by yourself, you know, and you just give in because you're tired. Sometimes it'll just complain constantly to you. I don't know if I should be doing this. Oh, you know. And so you just end up giving in to her and saying, okay, you don't have to homeschool them anymore, you know. And it's a sad thing, you know. And the Lord, you know, I'm not saying that the divorce was all her fault, but it just was progressively that way. And it just creeps in and it's very sad because you get these wonderful victories that you thought you had and you saw your wife being saved through a pastor coming to visit the house, and later on, this happens. Of course, you know, going from one to another denomination isn't really helping too much. And anyways, I just would encourage people to really ask the Lord all the time about the smallest thing. You know, and I'm just really happy that I am retired now and I can spend a lot of time. I have to really praise God a lot this morning just to get started, because there was something in me telling me that you know, I was lost or useless, you know, and I could just, it's a feeling, so you know it's wrong, first of all, and you're just trying to get out of this doldrum, and I think I praised the Lord, putting on several praise songs and some really lovely ones to practice His presence and stuff, and then finally it left, and I went, finally I can start my Bible study and go on anyway. So this Jezebel is present, and it's even taking over entire countries, I would say. It's made its way into the nations, and it's not good. And just makes you think, you know, that out of all the people in Jerusalem in Jesus' day, just how many were in the upper room? Like, what's the population of the capital of Israel back then? And how many saw him rise with the two angels there? You know, I understand that it grew after that in the book of Acts, but that city area, you know, if you're in a big city, like it would be Washington, D.C., and whatever the suburbia is of Jerusalem that time. And, you know, there wasn't that many. And they had the greatest speaker, the most filled with the Spirit person there, Jesus Christ. And I'm not knocking anything. I'm just saying, just look at the numbers there. You know, they have this idea that a whole country got saved and that's a Christian nation. Well, no, that's not true. So, praise God and glory to God and stand fast. Amen.
I'm back. I was looking for my faith for all things there. Joe said. Go ahead, Missy. Wait a minute, Missy, let me get Donna. She's had her hand up for quite a while. Go ahead, Donna.
Okay, so I got divorced in the year 2000. And submission is to Christ, right? He is my authority. Is that correct?
And the elders.
You're right. So I just have this small story. I used to teach at a Christian school, and the lady there, she did like a crazy, she did like a teaching and so forth. And one time I was sitting in service and she was doing her thing teaching, and God just revealed it to me that it was a Jezebel spirit. And I could just see it in the spirit, like so clear. But it is so true. You know, so many people accept that women should be at the pulpit. And I don't understand. It says so many times in the word that we are to be in submission. You know, we are to be quiet and ask your husband at home. You know, so anyway, I just wanted to say that.
Amen. Well, thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Yes, Missy.
You know, there's two major things that I see. Especially in the church with Jezebel. We know we got a big problem with women teaching, you know, but there's also a big problem with, there's many men, many, many men who have taken authority. They're not anointed. They weren't sent by the Lord they are Jezebels too, taking authority over her congregation. So God never even gave that to them.
Yeah.
And one's just as bad as the other, as far as I can see. You know, the Jezebel woman and the Jezebel man.
Yeah, I agree.
Could I just say something here, just so we can keep ourselves fun?
Let me say something, Andrew, before you do, okay? I just wanted to clarify something, what Missy just said. They'll put a young man through 2 years of college and put him ahead of a church when they go to seminary. They'll put him ahead of a church. And this guy hadn't had any experience whatsoever. I said, Jezebel. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I just want to keep a clarity as to what it says in Luke when Jesus was on the cross. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And I don't think they know what they say. So we have to have a right heart toward these people. They were led that way, and they didn't know what they were doing themselves. So if these people come into mind, you've been through these places, you have to remember to forgive. You know what the Lord says about that. And the Lord, it's not finished till it's finished. We don't know what can happen to these people in the future. We need to have that forgiving spirit for them. And, you know, because the Lord says he's giving them time to repent. He's actually giving them the repentance, which is a big thing, you know, at Thyatira there. So he's going to offer repentance, but why is it that they don't take it? I don't know. So, and I know that's the beginning of Revelation. It's there for a purpose, because that's what happens to deteriorate the church till we come to the rest of the fulfillment of Revelation in chapters 2 and 3. So praise God.
Amen. Amen. All right. Okay, Nick, we'll see you, buddy. Have a great day tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going at 2 o'clock tomorrow. My grandpa's coming at 8 o'clock, so I gotta go to bed.
All right, we'll see you. We'll see you, buddy. Have a good time up there.
Bye.
All right. Amen. All right, let's see here. Anybody else on that Jezebel spirit? Yes, it can go into men and women both. In a relationship, in a marriage, it can come out in either one of them. I know that sometimes when men become Christians and they go wholeheartedly for the Lord, it's a fight. It's a war. And you just have to fight every day and pray for them. And the same thing with the women. She wants to control him and get him into line with the Christian walk, you know. Well, bless God, you got to come and do what God wants you to do rather than what you want. You can't do that. You just have to submit and pray. Some of you women can attest to that. You just have to pray for them daily. And some of you men, or your wife, you need to pray that God would show them where they're wrong. All right. But regardless of what they do, men, you still have to obey God and go after the Lord. Same thing with the women. You have to submit whether they're Christian or not. That's what the word said. We've already gone through all of that. So, all right, let's get into the next paragraph here. It says, people wonder, what's the Jezebel spirit? Well, all you have to do is just read about Jezebel in the Old Testament, and you'll see that she tried to kill all the true prophets of God and installed false prophets of Baal, a false Jesus. If Jezebel is hearing the voice of God and ruling over your church, she's hearing Baal. She's not hearing Jesus. And, of course, anybody who stands up to her and says, wait a minute, this is not according to the word for a woman to be a pastor, they're thrown out. They are. They kill the servants of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the true prophets of God. But Elijah stood up to Jezebel, except for one time when he ran for his life. Y'all remember that. He stood up to Jezebel and he stood up to the false prophets, and he did a great job of it also. Jezebel was the one who led Ahab astray, making it possible for him to steal Naboth's vineyard. 1 Kings 21:15, and it came to pass when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned, that was her plan. She set him up, framed him, and had him murdered. And was dead, then Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth, the Jezreelite, to take possession of it. Naboth, the Jezreelite, means the fruits that God will sow. And Naboth refused to give the inheritance of his father unto this beast. And our inheritance that has been passed on down to us from the fathers is the word of God. It's that land that's sowed here. It's that land that God has given unto us. We are not to give that land to the beast. Leviticus 25:23. And the land shall not be sold in perpetuity. That word. For the land is mine. For ye are strangers and sojourners with me. We give that land to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jezebel had the fruits that God sowed killed, so that the beast could take possession of the vineyard. If Jezebel is ruling, the beast has taken possession of the vineyard. And that's no less than the devil taking over the church. You see it in the church in America, and it's quite common in other countries too. All right, anybody got any questions or any comments? Ahab was very happily taking possession of that which was not his when Elijah rebuked him. 1 Kings 21:20, and Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. And of Jezebel also spake the Lord, saying, the dogs shall eat Jezebel by the rampart of Jezreel. And as we've seen, the dogs represent the beast in Revelation 17. God put it in the heart of the beast, the king, to devour Jezebel and burn her with fire, Revelation 17:16. It's going to happen in the tribulation period because Jezebel cannot get away with usurping authority over God's church. We've had people just recently that left because of they liked this woman preacher. I just referred them to Word Women in Authority. Hadn't seen him since. You got to want God more than you want yourself. Some men, when they come to Christ, if you do what God wants you to do, it's going to be a battle. It's a battle. I can tell you from experience, it's a battle. And Andrew can too. It's heartbreaking at times. That's okay. God said, but God. Amen. 1 Kings 21:24. him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the birds of the heavens eat. David says, yes, all of his sons were killed because of his rebellion. The children of Jezebel were destroyed in this tribulation. 25, but there was none like unto Ahab, who did sell himself. God said not to sell our land, to do that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols. According to all that the Amorites did, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. So Ahab followed idols just like Jezebel. Jezebel had an idol. She wanted to rule the kingdom. She wanted to destroy the servants of God who wanted their inheritance to be only for the Lord. Any questions? Any comments? Are y'all ready to get through with this, or do you? I'll tell you, I think it's some good stuff, and I think it's for all of us. I think it's one of the best teachings for this period right now that we could have done. Go ahead, Greg.
It was just a question to see if anyone has any information on this, and you know, probably I should do some research myself. But the land that Naboth had, that Jezebel had the kangaroo court and had him killed, and Ahab took over. Does anyone have any insights on what actually happened to that land down the track? Whether it was any sort of redemption or whatever on it? I'm just asking. It's kind of curious, but if not, that's fine as well.
Rion's got the answer.
Oh, great. Thanks, Rion.
No, I don't. I raised my hand for something else.
I'll research it for myself, see what I can find out. Okay, all right. Carry on.
Okay. Go ahead, Rion.
Just made homework for yourself, Greg. as you were reading, Michael, I was just reminded as well that Jezebel is not always the way we, what we're talking about. Sometimes the opposite is true, where there's a false humility and she's trying to prop up her husband as this anointed one or this great leader, and it's all wanting him to step in earlier, than without anointing and things like that as well. So it's not always obvious that it's just a woman in leadership. That's always, yes, that's the Jezebel, but it can hide in different ways as well. I just thought I'd kind of raise that and we could chat about that as well.
Yes, thank you for bringing that out. Yeah, they lift him up because they like the power. Be with the power. All right. Anyone else? Does anybody want to repent? I'm just asking. All right, let's keep going here. Okay, Missy's going to do it. Praise God, we've been praying, girl.
Yeah, think about what Rion said. And I'd like to add to that is that, they try and promote their husband to be something that they're not so that he has a position. Therefore, they think that makes them have a position then too.
Yeah, that's what he was talking about. And it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It does. It happens all the time. Thank y'all for bringing that out. Okay. God raised up Jehu, who was a type of the man-child, to destroy this evil relationship of Ahab and Jezebel and remove this evil leadership over his people. 2 Kings 9:2, and when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshah, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren. And that's exactly what the Lord is going to do in our day too. He's going to raise up a man child from among his brethren. And he goes on and carry him to an inner chamber. Then take the vial of oil, pour it on his head, and say, Thus saith the Lord, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Well, wait a minute. They already had two kings, Jezebel and Ahab, and both of them perverts. Then open the door and flee and tarry not. That was a dangerous thing to say in a time when prophets of God were losing their head, you know. 2 Kings 9 and verse 4. So the young man, even the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead, and when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting. And he said, I have an errand to thee, O captain. And Jehu said, Unto which of us all? And he said, To thee, O captain. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Lord, even over Israel. Well, what was Jehu going to do? 2 Kings 9 and 7. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants, the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab every man-child. There will be no man-child among Ahab's seed. And him that is shut up and him that is left at large in Israel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish. There you go, folks. The Lord is bringing a mighty judgment against them, which is what's going to happen in the end times too, because Jehu is a type of the man-child, and the Lord Jesus is coming to do just this. So Ahab, if you're going to submit to Jezebel, you're going to perish. And Jezebel, since you're ruling over Ahab, you're going to perish. All your children are going to perish because you're raising them up to walk in your steps. You're sowing that seed in them every day. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Has anybody got any questions about what that's going on here? If there's Jezebel in there and you allow that Jezebel, the whole bunch of them's going south. Way south. Any questions or any comments? If you have this problem in your household, it's like any other problem. Let me stop just a moment. Think about a question that somebody out there listening to the broadcast might want to have, and ask that if you understand, because there's a lot of people that listen to the broadcast, the outreach broadcast. So if you think of a question that might come up, you might want to ask it. If you have this problem in your household, it's like any other problem. You need to humbly submit to the Lord because he loves you and he wants to deliver you. Some of you don't know what's wrong with this. Some of you have been raised in families where you thought this was normal. But the Lord says it's perversion. The Lord loves you, wife. And if you will repent and put your faith in him, he'll change your heart. He will give you a desire to be in right relationship with your husband and with your children and with the Lord Jesus, with the Word of God and men. And he'll change your heart too and give you a desire to be in right relationship with your wife. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Julie.
Something you said, Michael, when you, this about the perishing. Going back to 2 Kings chapter 9 there in verse 8, I guess, where it says, The whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab every man child, and him that is shut up, and him that is left at large in Israel. And just going on how David is expounding about So Ahab, if you're going to submit to Jezebel, you're going to perish. And Jezebel, since you're ruling over Ahab, you're going to perish. And all your children are going to perish because you're raising them up to walk in your steps and sowing seeds in them every day. One of the scriptures in John, I think it's chapter, I don't know if it's 6 or 10, I can't remember, but where it says, where Jesus, you know, he's talking about his sheep follow him, they hear his voice and they follow him, and that none of his will perish, none of his own will perish. And this is just a distinction to me too, it's just a confirmation about those who are his, are the chosen, the elect, they will not perish, they will repent. But the ones, again, that are not going to repent, they're proving themselves to be those who are not chosen, because they're going to perish. And it was just something that was coming to my mind about the, you know, God separating, he's making a distinction and separating those who are his and those who are not, that they'll be proven. So how that was just something that was coming to my mind about, you know, his word is final. Amen. Just another confirmation about those who are his or will not perish. Thank you.
Amen. That's exactly right. And during the tribulation, there are going to be people who didn't understand this in the word of God. They're going to have 3.5 years to make it right. But it's going to be out there, and they're going to have to make a choice during that 3.5 years. A lot of them are. Some of them already know about it, and they refuse to give up the glory, I guess, for lack of a better word. And God's going to take them out. Okay. Anybody else? The Lord is telling us here, this is serious business. It's not something to take lightly as a woman and man of God. He wants his people to be in right authority in the church. Let's see what else we got here. If you're somebody who has taken authority over God's people, and you weren't ordained to do that by the Lord through an apostle, as the Bible said, and if you're still living in your sins instead of overcoming, then you're just imparting your sins to them, and you'll be judged for that. You better repent, because judgment is coming quickly. I have it from the Lord. A Jehu is about to ride forth, folks. And what the Lord Jesus speaks in a body of his man-child is going to come to pass. He is coming to pronounce judgment. That white horse rider is coming to pronounce judgment over the perverts that are ruling over his people in their families and in their assemblies. Revelation 6:2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat thereon had a bow, and there was given unto him a crown, and he came forth conquering and to conquer. So if you're having this problem of a Jezebel or an Ahab spirit, it's just like any other problem, any other perversion, any fornication or anything like that. You turn to the Lord and repent and believe his word and accept his deliverance. If necessary, get some other brethren to pray over you and get this out of you. This is perversion. Get it out of you. It will destroy you, and it will destroy your family. It probably did destroy your family. This spirit of Jezebel is covertly killing people. It's killing families by destroying the leadership of the Lord Jesus over that family. And that destroys the leadership of the second in command, the man who goes on to raise up the children. And then the man's Jezebel spirit is destroying families and raising up the poor children to not be able to have a decent relationship with men or women. Because of this evil spirit, the children are raised up with self-will in their hearts, and so they have no peace in their hearts. My, my, my. I haven't seen anything yet that's not so. From my own experience. It's right down the line. I've seen women in this fellowship before, not the outreach, talk about locally, that were the leaders of the household. They destroyed their whole families. Used to be nice Christian families that were had joy and peace. And when they refused to give it up, the kids went berserk, and they went berserk. And that's what God is telling us here. You can't allow that in your household in any form or fashion. And you men, if you do what God wants you to do, one of two things is going to happen. Your wife will line up with you, or she'll leave. One of the two. And that's something that we all have to face at some point in time. What you going to do? Go with the Lord? Or go with Jezebel? All right, let's go on. I once heard a testimony from a sister, as a matter of fact, about a man who shot himself because he could no longer take Jezebel tormenting him and his family. And there are a lot of men who are oppressed all their life by this spirit. If you marry Jezebel, she will destroy your life. You'll never have any peace unless you give in to them. And when you give in to them, you're following the devil. You ain't following the Lord. If you have married a Jezebel, don't give in to him. Yes, it can hurt, but the devil is going to try to just wear you out. Daniel 7:25 says, and he shall speak words. David says, the treasury of scripture knowledge says those boastful words are to exact obedience to his decrees in open violation of reason and scripture. Emphasis added. Jezebel's spirits demand obedience. And it goes on to say, against the Most High and shall wear out. That's the Hebrew word bela, meaning to harass continually. What a perfect description of Jezebel that is. The saints of the Most High, and he shall think to change the times and the law. God has given us the chain of authority in his word, but Jezebel has perverted it to our destruction. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, a times, and half a time. Don't let the devil rule over you. Amen. Don't let the devil rule over you. Do we need to come with any more kind of a clarification in what we've just talked about here the last three sessions of this? I thought David did a real good job in that one chapter just bringing the whole thing up. Instead of reading the whole book, you could just read this chapter here and get most of it right. I think this is Reader's Digest version. Praise God. And then I'm going to go ahead and read this prayer that David had. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, please pour forth of your grace on the families out there, the brethren that are reading this study today and listening to us. Lord, pour out your grace, Lord. You love them, Lord, and I love them, Lord. I ask you to help them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Pour out your grace, Father, and grant deliverance, Lord. There are so many that want to be in the bride. They want to be close to you, but they can't be if they're submitting to Jezebel or if they are a Jezebel. They can't be so, Lord. And I'm asking you, Father, to save your people, O Lord. Pour forth of your grace upon your people, O Lord. Grant grace for them to repent and to turn to you in every possible way. Lord, in this and other things that we've spoken about. And Father, save our brethren who have been taken captive to the faction movement and the false revival movement and all the other dumb movements out there that are totally contrary to your word. Lord, please, Lord, have grace, have mercy, send a revival, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, Father. We trust you to do this for us, Lord. We thank you for it. And Lord, send your Jehu to save your church out of the hands of Jezebel. Lord, oh, have mercy. Father, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. And oh, praise you, Father. Praise you for doing that for all of our brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus out there. Listening and on this fellowship right here. Oh, thank you, Father. All right. Anybody got any comments to this study from day one to now? Okay, kind of somber in here.
Is that not what happened?
I guess.
I'll add this comment. I've done a little bit of looking at Jezebel in my time, or the Jezebelic spirit. I'm not going to sign it to one. I'm giving it to you, but. Or give it a name, but yeah, look, that's I have not ever read anything that good on the subject. I'll leave it at that, but yeah, no, it's good.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I've met it a few times.
You've met who?
Well, this Jezebel character.
Yeah, I have too. He's not very nice. Isaac, I can't hear it. I've got these headphones on. It doesn't bother me. Isaac wanted me to put some WD-40 on my chair. I can't hear it squeaking. Can y'all hear it squeaking? I guess I'm going to have to take it downstairs in the shop, oil it down. Only when I look back, lean back. Well, that's most of the time. All right. Anybody got, I know you would. Anybody else got anything on Jezebel and Ahab? Okay. Well, we're almost out of time. Yeah, Julie.
I was, at one point, I was looking at some different books that people had written on Jezebel. There is so much deception, what people explain that spirit to be about. And it was, you know, and people are very, very deceived about what the spirit is. And it was when I started reading some of the stuff that people were putting out there on her. The spirit and stuff, it's like they were looking at the letter of the word. They were just so way off. And, you know, you got to pray against that stuff too, that not just pray that people get delivered of that spirit, but that people, the deception of that spirit that are deceiving and charming and seducing. And there's just so much, ignorance about it. You know, people aren't spirit filled. That's a big part of it. People aren't spirit filled, so they can't discern that there's a problem in the church and in leadership in general.
Amen. If I said a couple of names right now, big time, big time faith ministers, you'd be surprised, that believed that women ought to be preaching. I'm telling everyone right now, still active, that believes it. Well, the one that I know about, I knew him personally, but I'm not going to mention his name. You'll figure it out. But they're deceived, and they teach that women can't. It's dangerous to go against God's word. I'm telling you, it's just dangerous to do that. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests or testimonies? Yeah, Greg.
Apologies to Missy, first of all. No, I do have a kind of a couple of prayer requests, if I may. I've got to head off fairly quickly in about 10 minutes. But first of all, I don't know if this is a testimony or not, but quite a lot, particularly in recent months and recent weeks, and Julie picked it up on my Sunday, your Saturday night, that I am finding myself at certain points of time, and it could be, you know, reading scripture, it could be, you know, when we're talking about something here, that I am yawning extraordinarily. I've got to go, what is going on here as far as, you know, deliverance and stuff goes? Anyway, I'll leave it at that. But no, seriously, I mean, I wasn't tired, but I was just yawning.
Where's even God?
Earlier, when Geneva was talking about her father-in-law, and I was actually pondering my the person I call my former spouse, because they don't have names after they divorce you. And the Lord has you know, look, this whole Jezebelic thing has huge illustration there, but I won't go into that. But yeah, the Lord's had me of late to be praying for her and deliverance. I'm not sure if she's going to take it or not. But when Geneva was talking about that, it just was going crazy on me then, as I was praying, you know, quietly the situation. Sorry, but the thing I'm asking for prayer for right now is that I'm about to leave and go to do some what's something called a verification of competence. I have a license, what's called a HR license. It's a license to drive heavy rigid vehicles. I have an unrestricted license to do that. So it's basically a truck that's not articulated or a bus. And I've had this on my license, my driving license, since the 80s somewhere. But the truth be known, I really have nothing in the way of experience on driving these things. It was kind of like just added to my license many, many years ago by a police officer. Let's leave it at that. But anyway, it's a useful thing in employment here now. And so I'm going to do 2 hours on a bus and 2 hours in a truck. I'm going to have to work out how to do it and be competent very quickly. So I'm asking for prayer to, like, Lord, imbue me with skills and knowledge in this thing.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you that you're going to give him the wherewithal to do everything that they want him to do. And he's going to pass with flying colors, Lord. And Lord, get him to, if he does a bust, Lord, make sure he gets a taser, because he's going to need it. In Jesus' name.
Okay, taser. This is the other drivers, I'm guessing.
Well, a school bus, anyway. I did that one time. That was the worst job I ever had. I told the guy that was over me, I said, listen, you give me a taser or a ball bat. I said, I ain't driving this bus now another day.
No, fair enough. No, it wasn't in my plans, but, you know, the Lord may have other ideas.
I still had a lot of flesh back here.
Yeah. Well, I've still got some. Don't worry.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, folks.
It's done. You're going to pass.
Yep.
Yeah. Yes, Isaac.
Yep. Hello, everybody. I want to share a story real quick, and I think it's pretty. Yeah. Okay. Cool. I think it's pretty relative to the topic at hand. So there is a I'll do it without naming names, but there's a big major church in Cincinnati, and it's like a TBN church, big congregation, you name it. Now, the pastor there is a female, and her husband, or post-husband, would take turns preaching to the congregation and teaching. Now, I've been back and forth Cincinnati pretty much for years and years because my wife's family lived here and whatnot, but I won't go into all that. But one day, I was back in Rockport, Indiana, which is close to Owensboro, and I was working in my steel mill, and I was reading in like the USA Today, because I always got the hand-me-down newspapers. I was usually a week behind. And so I was catching up on the previous week. And so there's a big statue out there of Jesus. I mean, this thing's, I don't know, maybe 75 to 100 feet tall. It's massive. And he has his hands to the sky. Well, it got struck by lightning. Now, this thing, it's an insulator. Right? It doesn't. It's not meant to conduct. I'm sure it has some type of lightning arrest. You know, they built it for this reason. It's still burnt to the ground. Okay? And you could probably find headlines on news if you want to look it up for yourself. Okay. So, I read on, and I've actually been to this church years and years ago, but this is before I got this truth, right? Thank God. Anyways, the reporter asked, the pastors, do you think, both of them, do you think this is a sign of God? They said, no, we don't think so. It's just chance. But I bet you they believed in smaller things that were of God, right? Okay. So this was unbelievable. It wasn't, and I say this, soberly and humbly. It wasn't a few months later that man who took turns with his wife, the pastor, had a heart attack and died. Okay, this thing got severe power. I've seen it, me and Geneva, when we were being raised, my dad got into a church that he didn't really want to go to. But my mother actually went on her own way because my dad was like assistant pastor of one church. He was getting out of the world and he was really reading the word for himself. And mom went to one church on her own one day and she convinced my dad to go there. Well, we all started going there. They had a great youth group, just an amazing youth group. Well, it wasn't within a span of maybe a few months. There was, it wasn't a real big church, but there was like 8 or 9 divorces that all happened at one time within like a matter of 1 month. And my parents happened to be one of them. And I always thought about that. I remember as a kid, you know, the Lord just put in my heart, well, Isaac, it's almost kind of like he wanted me to ask questions. Why, Isaac, why did this happen? Well, I don't know. You know, well, of course, I didn't know it was Jezebel back in, but it was. And, you know, the flattery was deep in that church. Just like Rion said, and I'm going to tell you, it was unbelievable. But this thing is severe. And you got to watch these, you know, major churches because it's out there and it can, and it won't. Not with us, because we're covered. Thank you, Jesus. But that can be imparted. So I just want to share a testimony. I don't mean it in any sense that's wrong, but somehow I hope increases your faith, because that's quite miraculous what happened with that statue and everything that happened. And you can look it up for yourself, because even though it was a statue of Jesus, I don't mean it's wrong. In their sense, it was idolatry. Now, I'm just saying that, and I'm saying that soberly, and I want to be careful about it, but I want to leave it at that. Thank you.
Amen. Yep, that's idolatry. But all right. Well, we've come to the end of another prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you have given us the word these last 3 sessions. And we thank you for it, Father, 3 or 4, I don't remember. And Lord, we just ask that we have great fellowship from this time on with people who want to follow you and do the things that you want them to do. And Lord, we thank you for order in the fellowship, the right order. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for all these fine brothers and sisters. I love them all, Lord. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Y'all be blessed.